Forgetting how to lose a guy in 500 days in Seattle.
Looks amazing. Well, remember on, oh, you were on the first X-Files movie.
That was the second one.
Yeah, it was just fucking snow the whole time. Piles.
That was in Pemberton?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Mount Currie. They loved it. They loved it.
They loved it.
Hi, everybody.
Oh, hi, everybody. I'm Clayton.
I'm Jordy.
This is the Props Cast.
Welcome home.
Welcome home.
Again.
To a snowy Valentine's Day. Yeah. If you're living in Vancouver.
Quite snowy outside.
We're watching it snow outside the windows of the PropsCast studio.
And I know that everybody in Vancouver appreciates it when it does snow because it doesn't snow too much here.
No. And this is like really nice, picturesque, fluffy snow, which is even rarer.
Yeah.
More rare? Rarer? More rare?
Medium rare, I'd say.
I feel like I've got fucking afternoon talk show host voice because I'm kind of sleepy.
Yeah, well, that's perfect for what we're doing.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Propscast. We're your hosts, Clayton Lang and Jordan Dobie.
We're here to present you with a topic this afternoon about the group of seven artists, Emily Carr.
I don't know.
Lauren Harris.
I don't know the rest of them.
You were at CBC when you were a kid and you just hear those, your dad would listen to some fucking program and in the car and you'd listen to 3 seconds of it and fall asleep.
Yeah.
And your dad would just be loving every fucking minute that of that
was
shit.
That was the tactic.
It was.
We invite you now to kick back, relax, grab a hot cup of cocoa while we go down the favorite artists of the group of seven.
I'm falling asleep right now.
Dude. I should get a job at CBC.
They're hiring. Always hiring.
Always hiring.
They're always growing and always expanding.
Yeah.
New ideas, fresh ideas.
Yeah, everyone with talent leaves.
Oh.
Oh, burn on the CBC.
You know what, though? I feel like we've been too hard on the CBC in the last while.
You've been hard on the CBC.
I'm starting to change my tune. Mm. But you know what? That's not what we're talking about today, Clayton.
No.
We are talking about, well, first, do you want to do a little quick, seen anything lately? Just to be on the up and up.
Well,
finger on the pulse.
It's as per our episode last 2 weeks ago. As per our last episode, I watched Superbad.
Right, because last episode we did 2007 movies versus 1999 movies.
Yeah, so I made a promise to watch Superbad, 300, and Eyes Wide Shut. So I've I've made good on one of three.
You forgot about the second two.
So I watched that one. It was pretty good.
Oh, brother.
It was pretty good.
Dude, it's... Okay, first of all, you missed the bus on it.
I missed the bus.
When we watched it, when most of us watched it in the theater in 2007.
At 37 years old in the year 2021, it's a little bit of a different environment to watch it in.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was funny.
It's hilarious. The cat paw thing when he had the whiskers on his face.
Yeah. I feel like they cut it though on Netflix.
Cut some bad parts out?
Well... Because Jesse was talking about a part where he's in shop class and he goes, what are you doing? He's like, I'm just drilling holes last week. Fuck it. And I was waiting for that part and it never happened.
Oh. Yeah, Jonah Hill says that. Yeah. Was there the part when those guys are doing cocaine in the room and they make him sing?
Yeah. And he sings these eyes.
Hilarious. Yeah. He does it really good.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I love that show because at the time it was so, you know.
Yeah.
I saw the preview for it. I went, got tickets, probably the first weekend it came out. Got popcorn, probably ordered a pack of nibs, mm-hmm. You know, stuff like that, right? Yeah. Large Sprite.
And I didn't know that Emma Stone was in it.
Yeah.
All this time, had no idea.
That was like her breakout role.
I know I said that earlier, but I'm saying it on the show for the record.
Yeah, I understand. This is all on the record.
What have you seen lately?
I started to watch a really cool show called The Good Lord Bird.
Oh, what's
with
that?
Ethan Hawke.
Okay.
It's about this guy named John Brown who was this slavery abolitionist. He used to go around killing everybody who supported slavery in his tracks. Fuck, it's nuts, dude.
When's the set?
Mid-1800s.
Okay.
Kind of like when the Civil War was happening, like mid-Civil War times. Very, very good show. I'm just started it, so I'm excited about it. It's on HBO. I got oh, Crave.
Yeah. Yeah, with the HBO
and Showtime
extra
and Stars.
Thing?
Yeah, I got all of it. Whew. Paid for a year of it. I don't give a shit. You know what I mean? I'm dropping money on fucking
why not
streaming services.
It's snowing outside,
and that's what we do.
Stream it up, baby.
What are your options?
Well,
in life?
What else are you gonna do?
Exactly. Here's my thing. Here's people's options. You can go for dinner. Not really anymore.
Nope.
You can go to a friend's house, not really, until later. You can go to a concert, or you can go to a park, or you can go see a show, a movie, or you can watch TV at home. You don't really have that many options of things to do in life.
Oh, you mean just in general? I thought you were talking about in COVID times.
I'm talking about COVID and when COVID's over.
Oh, there's tons of stuff you can do. You can go rock climbing.
Do people actually do that?
You can go...
I feel like that's all fake.
You can go to
mountain biking?
A wine tasting.
Yeah, also fake.
You can go swimming.
Fake.
Again. Indoors or outside. Fake.
Nobody does that. And if they do, they're just doing it to put it on their Instagram.
You can go to an eagle sanctuary.
Oh, brother. Here we go. Here we go with the fucking bird sanctuaries again.
There's an endless supply of things that you can do.
Oh, man.
Okay, but well, anyways, with COVID, you can't do anything because you might give the birds COVID.
The flu.
Yeah. The avian flu.
I watched that, and I watched that show about Alyssa Lam, which is kind of scary.
I don't know what that is.
It's this new Netflix show. It's a crime documentary about this woman in BC who went traveling down to Los Angeles by herself and went missing at the Cecil Hotel.
Oh.
They couldn't find her. They ended up finding her in the water tank upstairs, and her body was decomposing in there, and people were showering and drinking her.
Oh, I've heard that story. I thought that was an urban legend.
No, it's not. It's real. And the Netflix show really goes into it.
Oh, gross.
And they kind of solve it at the end, and they kind of go, okay, this is most likely what happened. But there's a lot of weird synchronicities with it. A lot of weird synchronicities.
What do you mean synchronicities?
Coincidences that are too much to be coincidences, but not enough to be full fucking conspiracy facts.
Interesting. Okay.
I like to call them synchronicities.
Okay.
Because the guy on Netflix, he says that, and I'm like, yeah, that's the way to describe it. It's not like, look at this. This is why. You know, it's just because it's more than a coincidence. It's a synchronicity, right. But it doesn't mean it's a cause and effect. She's not MK Ultra, you know. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yes. Like people,
yeah.
The weirdest part about it is that some of the conspiracy theories was that she was sent there by the Canadian government through the American government to give the homeless population tuberculosis, because there's a big homeless population that lives right outside of that hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And right after she went missing, there was a big tuberculosis outbreak in that homeless community, like a big one. Okay. Her name is Alyssa Lam. Okay. The test that they give people for tuberculosis is called the Lam Alyssa.
Mm.
Factual thing. Very, very coincidental. Some call it a synchronicity.
Okay. Well, you've lost my interest. No offense. Because I don't really like those crime shows.
Okay. I mean, you don't have to be like befuddled by it. I'm just saying that's what happens. That's what happened in this
scenario.
Good,
because I'm not befuddled.
Yeah. I thought that was kind of weird, though. I'm like, really? The test is called her name backwards? It's a little strange.
That, well, what existed first, her or the
test?
And
that's the thing. That's the thing is, of course, the test existed first. And it's an acronym. I can't remember the proper acronymonious fucking whatever you call it. But it's is something, the acute, you know, whatever.
Uh-huh.
But still, it's kind of weird, isn't it? I don't know. It's just weird. But anyways, they figured out what actually happened, and there was some miscommunications, and one guy, this Mexican, it's quite interesting to watch because it involves internet sleuthers, and you know how people get into shit like that, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's the same thing with the Luca, the guy who killed the cats. Don't fuck with cats. It's the same kind of thing.
Right.
Except for in this scenario, they ended up ruining a guy's life who had nothing to do with it at all.
Do you think in the future, law enforcement will bleed into like investigative journalism / Netflix series.
Yeah, I think so.
Like,
it's kind of like Minority Report.
There's going to be such a demand for true crime programming.
Yeah.
That Netflix is going to pay like retired detectives to be like, you got to open up some old cases and get us some new true stories. Sure. Because we're running out of stories to tell.
Why not? Even what you're talking about is a series formula that hasn't been done that I love right now.
What?
That pitch.
Like that a streaming service is going to try and solve crimes just for programming?
Yeah. Cold cases, streaming services. So they open up the cases and then this fucking Scully and Mulder types, whoever we cast in this.
Yeah, they're like disgraced detectives.
They go on the case. Mm-hmm. Dude, I'm telling you, it's fucking lightning in a bottle.
And they'll have a way bigger budget.
Yeah, so they make the doc, they release it, and then they go from there. They get the tips from people watching
it. Oh, right, yeah. So it's like a, yeah, like, so season one is like, here's what we know so far.
Yeah.
Help us for season two.
Yes.
It's a brilliant idea.
I think we just have lightning in a bottle here.
They could actually get David Duchovny and Julian Anderson to be the detectives. Like and in real life. Would. Like in real life.
They would jump on the opportunity.
Just give them like, you know, crash course in actual detective work.
I know Julian would be up for it.
Sure, why not?
I don't know, but okay, but today, as interesting as this topic is that we're getting into, today, this weekend, is Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
And me and Clayton are going to dive into the genre of romantic comedies.
Yeah. And you're listening and you're either in one of two camps. You're either like, oh, I love Valentine's Day. I love all those little cinnamon hearts and the red and pink. And like buying overpriced chocolates and at least like getting roses.
I love Russell Stover's. So wonderful. My favorite.
Or you're like, fuck Valentine's Day.
Fucking commercial bullshit.
Either way,
this episode is for you.
This episode.
And if you don't like rom-coms, we feel like we've sifted through the bullshit ones. Like we're not talking about whatever. We're going to do the good ones.
This is a half-baked idea, but we're going to see how it plays out. But Jordy has looked up a few of the classics.
Yeah.
The standbys of rom-com. Yeah. And I have made a bit of a taster of rom-coms that broke the mold, went in a different direction.
I believe you referred to them as avant-garde.
Avant-garde romantic comedies.
Yeah. And maybe our two lists will bleed into each other.
Maybe they will. And maybe I'll say a few things and Jordy will say, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, well, I don't think so. I think that your perspective is usually on par with mine.
But either way, we invite you to kick back, make a cup of cocoa, and while we run down our list of romantic comedies here on the CBC.
Remember the piano that went along with it?
Should we put it in? Should we do this whole episode like we're a CBC program? No, everyone will fall asleep.
We'll get sued by someone.
CBC doesn't have lawyers. They can't afford that.
They do, Clayton. Oh. Okay, so I'm just going to dive right into
it. Yeah, what are some of your favorites?
This is like, the thing is my list maybe isn't like the fucking most, you know, run-of-the-mill romantic comedies because I feel like the first one is a newer one that I saw recently that I think is a great romantic comedy and I loved it.
What was it?
Palm Springs.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
That was kind of on my list.
So here's what's going to happen is we're going to have some of the same.
That's okay.
And that's okay.
I think Palm Springs was great because it kind of took the Groundhog Day idea and added a second person. I mean, Groundhog Day, you could say, is
even a third person.
Is a romantic comedy.
You could.
A little bit.
One could.
But it was more about him.
Living out. It was a new idea at the time.
Figuring himself out, right? It's been a long time since I've seen it.
What would you do in this scenario? Would you be like Andy Samberg and just try to...
In a time loop
and just live out the days?
Well, in Palm Springs, I think the idea is that he's been in the loop so long that he can't even remember. Like, he's done everything. And he just keeps waking up Like, you're at a point where it's so far past where Bill Murray was in Groundhog Day.
It would be somewhat of a hell in certain scenarios.
Yeah.
Like, if it was a boring place and you had nothing to do,
yeah,
it would be awful.
Yeah. Because they're in the middle of nowhere, right?
Because you couldn't even kill yourself.
No, he tried.
Many times. Mm-hmm. And then he talked about how the worst part of is being dying slowly in the hospital.
Yeah.
But Andy Samberg got a Golden Globe nomination.
For did he?
Yeah, which is kind of interesting.
That's good.
Yeah, it is good.
I thought it was a great movie. It's on Amazon Prime, if anyone's wondering.
Yeah, great, great, great little Valentine movie.
Well, what are some of the classics?
Well, I don't know. I mean...
Can I throw one out?
Yes.
What about Sleepless in Seattle?
Yeah, I have that on my list too. And yes, it is a classic.
Like, I'm talking like baseline romantic comedy.
This is like the, well, is it the birth of it? I don't know.
No, I think romantic comedies have been around for a long time.
Forever.
I think what we're thinking of as the classic romantic comedy is probably what we grew up with. So and 80s.
90s.
80s, 90s.
That's definitely Sleepless in Seattle.
Slash.
You've Got Mail.
You've Got Mail.
Same movie, just different technology.
Which is actually based on The Shop Around the Corner. From the 40s.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
But they just took snail mail and made email.
Yeah.
Now, You Got Mail, I believe, was at the birth of email.
That's
though,
right. Because they had AOL.
Oh, my God.
And it said,
You've Got Mail.
You've Got Mail. Yeah, that was really good.
Do you remember those days when
I
never had email until I was like 24?
Yeah, I got an email address in 1994.
Was it Hotmail or was it AOL?
Oh, I don't even remember. It might have been before Hotmail.
Or was it Mozilla Firefox? Or was it
Firefox
Netscape?
It's probably Netscape. But it's like you would get email, but you wouldn't have anyone to send email to because no one else had
I didn't even know email. What the fuck you did. Like, what? Why would you do that? Like, I didn't understand that it was just a way to like message people, really.
Yeah.
Send it was people documents.
It was for office work. Right.
And you could like do group emails,
mm-hmm.
right? The CC thing became a thing.
It was trying to replace memos.
Exactly.
And yet in 2021, I feel like there's still paper memos that go around the office.
But okay, Sleepless in Seattle was a great fucking movie, right?
Is that Rob Reiner?
He's
in
so.
It, right? Isn't he the best friend?
No, is he? I know it's Tom Hanks. Who we know and love, Meg Ryan, the kid, Rob Reiner possibly directed it.
That's what I mean.
I know that he directed.
Oh, no. Directed by Nora Ephron.
Oh, Jesus. No, because you know what? We're getting it confused with When Harry Met Sally.
Oh.
Also a classic rom-com, which I believe was directed by the great Rob Reiner.
Is he great?
I think he is. You don't like Rob Reiner, man?
Yeah, he is in Sleepless in Seattle.
Okay, but he directed When Harry Met Sally.
He's the best friend.
Is he?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
I don't know. I just remember him and Tom Hanks in an exterior shot with Pike Place Market in the background.
Do you kind of wish, not to stay on Sleepless in Seattle for too long, but do you kind of wish that we were a call-in show a little bit?
Yeah, that would be fun.
Wouldn't that be fun? And people called in and like talked to us about their problems. And they were like, hey, Clayton and Jordy, first time caller, long time listener. I'm just, gave like their debt problems, their love life.
Debt problems.
Fucking whatever, right? You know what I mean? Their relationship problems.
Yeah, I mean, we could call out.
And we're not certified counselors, psychologists, psychiatrists of any sort. I'm going to fucking pull up another great rom-com. Here's one that's a little bit off the beaten path. Maybe you think it's avant-garde. Maybe not. A little movie called Her.
See, that's on my list.
I knew this was going to happen.
Maybe you should do the avant-garde ones and I'll do the basic bitch ones.
Well, how many basic bitch ones do you have in the back pocket?
None, really. I just have this. Let's just screen grab this list.
All I know is that the basic bitch ones, like, what are they even? I can't even name them. Like,
10 Things I Hate About You.
Yes.
13 going on 30, yes. 27 dresses.
How to lose a guy in 10 days.
Yeah.
But see, those aren't the ones that, if for the ladies out there, those aren't the ones that your boyfriend or husband is going to want to watch with you this coming Valentine's Day.
My best friend's wedding.
Yes. I think they'd rather watch her. And everybody will like it. And it's a funny romantic comedy that involves a man and a computer.
Yeah.
Who has a Scarlett Johansson voice.
And Amy Adams, isn't it?
Yes, she is. And she's lovely every time, isn't she? Did you like her?
Yeah, I loved it.
You thought it was great, man.
I thought it was great. It was very inventive.
Very underrated, even, I'd say. The art direction and the CGI, all of it, man. The costumes, the fucking earpieces, the props, the little phones, little hipster phones in the future.
Yeah, they shot a lot of it in China, didn't they? The exteriors.
I believe so, yeah. Just to get that.
Because China's the future, I guess.
and the past. And the present. Okay, what else do we got here? Okay, I got a classic Pretty Woman.
Oh, that is a classic.
Classic.
Okay, here's a question about Pretty Woman. How old were you when you watched it?
Probably 6 years old. I was like 12 or 13.
I watched it way later. Like, I think it was in my 20s when I watched it.
Right.
And I was like, I don't know. I didn't know how to feel about it.
Well, they kept it tasteful.
Yeah, they did. They totally did. And Jason Alexander is in it, which I always forget.
Yeah, and Richard Gere, and everybody loved Richard Gere.
Yeah. What happened to him?
I don't know. I feel like he's had gray hair, though, since fucking 1970.
Dawn of time.
Yeah, like, has he ever not had gray hair?
So Pretty Woman is a very good baseline for the rom-com, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Because it was, I mean.
What are some of the movies that you saw growing up? Like when you were in that early, the dating age, you know what I mean? Like 17 to 20 some odd.
Clueless.
Clueless for sure.
Was one that was a very coming of age totally. Rom-com for me. Mean Girls is also in that category. Is that a rom-com? It's more of a girl's story, though.
There's a romantic element to it, but it's not. I don't think it's the focus. It's kind of like what we were saying about Groundhog Day, where there's a romantic element to that story.
Of a romantic element in every fucking show, really, when you think about it.
Yeah.
Is every show a rom-com or a rom-drom?
Well, you always want to have a love interest.
You always
that's
do.
How you market a film.
Well, and people, that's just what people want to see, and that's a trope.
It's a trope. That is
the godmother and father of all tropes, I believe.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Just to have
Something that I think most people, like 99.9% of viewers, can identify with in some way, shape, or form, right?
Well, Clueless, too, was a movie about a girl who was trying to lose her virginity kind of thing.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, I believe that's what kind of the main premise was, sort of. Or she wanted to, curious about it or
something. If someone pointed a gun to my head and said, what's the fucking plot line of Clueless? I'd be like, I don't know, she's rich.
She's a rich girl.
Paul Rudd is
her
super
stepbrother.
Handsome.
Isn't he your stepbrother?
Yeah,
sort of,
doesn't he work for her dad?
Yeah.
He's like,
because
he's like working, like the dad works from home. He has a home office and Paul Rudd is there like helping him with shit.
There's people listening to this going like, no, he's fucking messing
up.
Of
course. And that's why we need the call-in show.
But Paul Rudd looks exactly the same in Clueless than he did yesterday.
And you know what? I'm glad that we brought up Paul Rudd because I think Paul Rudd is the epitome of the man protagonist in a romantic comedy.
For sure.
Because how many has he done?
A few. And women just, that's who they want it to be with.
You know what I just realized is just a couple weeks ago, I watched They Came Together, which is a David Wayne directed spoof of romantic comedies starring Paul Rudd and Amy Poehler.
Oh, yeah? Is it good?
I mean.
What's it on?
No, not really. It's Amazon Prime.
Yeah, fuck, I don't know, man. Amazon is my least favorite, to be honest. Now that I'm into the HBO crowd.
Well, I've been thinking about getting rid of Disney Plus, but that's another story.
No, don't.
No, why not?
WandaVision.
Oh, I haven't watched it yet.
Clayton.
It's a romantic comedy.
It's a rom-com. Okay, you go. Give me one of your.
Okay, well, this is one that, I mean, we've talked about this movie on the show, but Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Oh!
Is kind of like.
Deep cut.
I mean, that is a romantic comedy. His whole thing is about his relationships, right? And how he kind of sucks at.
And how he has to fight seven of her exes.
Her exes, yeah. It's like, that's a real fresh spin on the romantic comedy genre.
Yeah. Some could even say that Midsommar was a romantic comedy.
Yeah. Well, maybe a romantic dramedy.
More like a romantic fucking horrifying experience.
I'm so glad I watched that last year.
Remember when you wore the flower
crown? Yeah.
God, that was fucking just, that made my
day. That photo of me is my contact info for a few people now.
It's hilarious, dude. Yeah,
a few people took
that. That really took me by surprise.
Yeah.
It swept me off my feet that day. I won't lie.
It was fun building it. I've never made a flower crown before.
Here's the thing, though. Can we go back to Scott Pilgrim
for a minute?
Because that movie, we could talk about that movie in a lot of different of our topic discussions.
Well, it hits so many genres. It does. So cross-genre, right?
It's fucking rad.
Yeah.
One of the most underrated movies of all time.
I think so.
In my opinion. I feel like people should have appreciated it more than they did. The public. Not like the video game people, but just everybody.
Well, I think that's the whole video game theme of it, I think, turned a few people off that would have enjoyed it anyway. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I feel like people...
Like it was marketed to the gamer... nerd community, because it's kind of what it's but for. But
there's two kinds of people in the world sometimes in a lot of scenarios. But in that scenario, it's like when a movie goes like that, when it just goes to like these sort of dreamland and doesn't really make sense what's going on. Like, is the guy high or, you know what I mean? Like when he's going to cartoon form and back again and vegan power and all these things.
Yeah.
And some people just go with that, right?
Oh, fuck, I love the vegan power.
Some people are just like, yeah, this is hilarious. Like, It's so different, unique.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to these places that like, it's like my imagination. It's a trip. It's a high. It's not in, you know, it's not drug induced. It's just a movie that's made that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like some people, when they watch that, they're like, well, what's going on? Like, I don't get it, you know?
And those are the same people that didn't like Inception.
And that is technically me.
No, but I know what you're saying. It's like, when you see a movie, you have to decide, am I willing to suspend my disbelief and just see where this goes?
Yeah.
Or do I want something specific from this movie? And I think that there's a bit of a line there, because sometimes you can get tricked into thinking a movie is going to be one way and then it turns out to be another.
Yeah.
For some people, that surprise is really fun.
Yeah.
And for some people, people feel ripped off.
And we've talked about this before where... people's your mood that day can really affect a show.
Like how I hated Anchorman the first time I watched it.
So did I.
Yeah, because we were both
I was having a bad day.
We didn't know each other, but we were both having a bad day.
Well, I know that Jonathan, John has recently watched Anchorman and hated it.
Really?
Yeah.
A modern viewing.
Yeah, didn't like it. And
had he seen it before?
I don't think so.
So he's seen it for the first time.
I believe that was the case.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Maybe everyone hates it the first time they watch it. I hated Fight Club the first time I watched it.
Really?
Yeah. I thought it was stupid.
Really?
Yeah. Didn't I say that?
I don't know. Probably.
I think I said it on the last episode.
Okay. Do you want a nice, fun
1980s,
also a coming-of-age romantic comedy?
Okay.
Little show called 16 Candles.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? I haven't seen that. That's my hole in the John Hughes canon.
You need to watch it.
Because I watched Pretty in Pink.
Can I bump it up?
Which is also a romantic comedy.
Can I put it ahead of
300?
Eyes Wide Shut and 300?
Yes. Yes, you can.
Although 300 is good.
Not a romantic comedy, though.
No.
Yeah.
But this is a fucking masterpiece.
Would you put it on par with Pretty in Pink?
Oh, it's way better than Pretty in Pink.
It's better than Pretty in Pink?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Is it as good as Ferris Bueller's Day Off and Breakfast Club?
No.
I'd say it's a very close second.
Ferris is his primo.
Ferris is his primo, absolutely. But I would put this and a two slot with Breakfast Club and Ferris being tied for number one of John Hughes.
Okay. Okay. Yep.
Because this has something, Molly Ringwald is excellent in it. Mm-hmm. And this is her playing herself in her most, to me, relatable way.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like in Breakfast Club, you know, although it was funny when you said that was your most relatable character. That was one of the funniest moments of the prop cast. Anthony Michael Hall, his acting in this particular movie is so fucking good. It's so good.
Mm.
He's just so fucking excellent in it. He plays a nerdy guy, of course, trying to... John Cusack's in it.
Oh, it's hilarious.
Yeah, John Cusack has a small role in it. It's just... it's great. It's classic Hughes.
All I know of that movie is that they sit on the counter with the birthday cake because that's the still frame in every review of it or whenever anybody...
that's the very end.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even the guy who plays this guy, the hunky guy that who likes her,
mm-hmm.
and it's just different because it's like, you know, not to give away too much, but most people know it. But it's about this nerdy kind of girl who hasn't, you know, fully developed, and she's turning 16, and everybody forgets that it's her birthday because it's her sister's wedding.
Oh,
and she has a crush on this guy, who the most popular guy in school, and he's dating the most beautiful girl in school, who's got like the big boobs and whatever else. And he likes Molly Ringwald secretly, right? So it's kind of like interesting that take on it because it's like, well, actually this popular guy, he actually likes Molly Ringwald and she doesn't know it. And she's just very good. Very, very different storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, they don't make movies like this anymore, man.
No.
They don't. Because A, Anthony Michael Hall grew up to be kind of a weirdo. Okay, your turn.
I wanted to put 500 Days of Summer.
Oh yeah,
on the list.
You know, I'm gonna say though. Okay, go. You talk
what?
About it.
What? You there's didn't
just
like it?
I did like it, but there's just something about Zooey Deschanel, her elusiveness in most movies, that just kind of bugs me. I don't know why. Because I felt bad for the Joseph Gordon-Levitt character.
Yeah, I think you're supposed to.
But the way Joseph Gordon-Levitt is, it makes me feel really bad.
Oh.
Do you know what I mean? And then it makes me not like Summer.
Oh.
Not the season, the girl.
I felt the same way.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't like when women are like that.
I think that what sets this apart, I mean, a part of it is the 500 Days of Summer. You're popping in and out of the relationship in... out of order.
Times, yeah.
Because you see them when they're fighting and when they're in IKEA.
Yeah.
And they're fighting and he's trying to like do these jokes and you're like, what are you doing? And then you find out later that that was like one of their happiest times. So they went to IKEA and he was being all goofy.
It was very well crafted.
I'm like, the movie. That's very clever.
Yeah.
But then it's also different because they don't stay together in the end.
No, I know. It's one of those movies that left me feeling heartbroken.
Well, yeah, and I think it's designed that way because it's meant to make you feel how you felt when a relationship has ended in your past.
And I've been there.
I think a lot of people have.
Maybe I did like it. Maybe I'm just finding myself right now.
I thought they were a great duo, though, like a great casting.
Yeah, they're both great.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, you know, it was a good, like I said, well-crafted.
She's very much the manic pixie dream girl, if you know that term.
Yeah.
Which is a...
not for me.
Which is a major...
but I get it.
Yeah, but that's a major trope in the romantic comedy multiverse.
How old is she now? She's got to be 40 years old.
She's like our age, I think, isn't she?
Yeah, she's got to be. Because she was in Elf. That was fucking 2002 or something. When was Elf made?
I don't know. 2003, something?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Okay, I got one.
Go.
Coming out of the fucking left field here, The Princess Bride.
Oh, man, yeah. See, this is almost part of the avant-garde list because...
I would say so. Obviously not a, you know, textbook rom-com.
No.
More of a fantasy movie.
Yeah.
But it's like a fantasy rom-com.
Yeah.
Because it was a true love story.
It was a true love story. True love's kiss.
Exactly. And when I was a kid, I feel like I saw this at a very young age. And this movie made me understand that a little bit.
I think so, too. I think it is a... And it's interesting because that's built into the whole storytelling thing where it's... who's the old man?
Wallace Shawn.
That's reading to...
Columbo?
Yeah.
What's his name?
Columbo's reading to Kevin from Wonder Years the story of true love.
Peter Falk.
Yeah.
Peter Falk is reading to Fred Savage. Fred Savage.
And that's sort of like... That's kind of how it felt like when you're watching that movie. It's like you're being told, you're kind of like explained what true love is.
Also directed by Rob Reiner.
Then you get into your 30s and you realize most of that's bullshit.
But maybe not.
But maybe not. But maybe a little bit. I'm trying to represent the bitter and the jaded here, okay?
And I'm trying to represent the... You know, the
lovebirds.
The lovebirds part.
That's all good. Yeah. It's all good.
I mean, here's the thing.
We're all in different places in our lives.
The older you get to, the more you realize how foolish you have been in your life.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So all these things you learn when you're little about true love, love at first sight, Princess Bride, Romeo and Juliet, Drew Barrymore in any picture.
I think you have a Drew Barrymore one on your list, don't you?
Oh, I sure did. Fuck out of the three of them. I feel like movies make you think that, and then a lot of times, you know, relationships are hard and yeah. They're tough work. I know that, you know, your parents have been together for a long time. Mm-hmm. My parents were together for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people I know, a lot of people in my circles, parents have been together. So I just thought that's what people did. I thought people got together in fucking high school and stayed together.
Yeah. I mean, that was the case for a long time.
Yeah.
When I went to school, I was sort of the weirdo because everyone else's parents were getting separated.
Right.
Going through school. Like by the time I got to grade 12, I'm like, I don't think I knew anybody else that had parents that were still together. I was definitely in the minority.
Right.
So I think maybe that's why I take the jaded side. Like, well, you know, it happens. People stay together, but yeah. Not all the time.
No, not all the time. And I mean, romance is very much at the beginning of the relationship, and you have to work to
it is work.
Keep it going.
It is for work. Sure. Any relationship, even friendships.
Yeah, for sure.
Some people aren't as lucky as us and have an amazing hit podcast,
a smash hit.
Yeah,
Broadway. Caliber.
I was going to save this for the end, but we have been nominated for the Podcast Excellence Award.
I thought you were going to say we were nominated for a Tony.
Probably not. We're probably nominated for a Leo and we don't know it.
Somehow we got nominated for a Tony. We don't know how.
We haven't even written a song.
No, but yeah, we're there.
Book and lyrics by Jay Doby and C Flag.
Podcast Excellence.
Do you know what that is in reference to?
Is there such thing?
No.
What is it in reference to? Oh.
I'll cut that out, but I thought...
No, keep it in.
I was trying to make
it. Keep it in.
I was trying to make a wink.
Princess Bride is a fucking
Princess Bride gem. Is a fucking triumph. There are so many good parts.
And people love it. And it's not dated. And
no, and because it's a fantasy,
yeah,
it will never age.
No. And it's just... There's too many amazing people in it.
Yeah.
Okay, go.
Oh.
Give me one.
Okay, I'm going to really throw this out there. The Lobster.
Yeah, The Lobster. I haven't seen it, but I've seen half of it.
It's a slog to get through.
Yeah, I think I keep falling asleep in it.
And it's interesting. I think a lot of people will disagree with me on this.
Really?
But I think it is a comedy. It's not a slapstick, goofy ball comedy. It's a dark, like really dark comedy.
Now, who falls in love in it? John C. Reilly and somebody? Colin Farrell.
He does. Colin Farrell falls in love with, I think it's Rebecca Hall.
Okay.
The whole idea of the movie is that it's all these single people and they have to go to this resort to fall in love. Otherwise, they get turned into an animal.
Oh, I did not put that together.
And it, when they get when they sign up, they get asked, what animal do you want to be if you don't end up falling in love? And Colin Farrell's character says, I want to be a lobster.
Interesting. I think I have to give this another watch now.
It's really weird. It's really out there. But they basically, it's like single, it's like a singles retreat.
With consequences.
And you go there and you either fall in love and you can return to society with your beloved
significant
other, or you get turned into an animal.
Fuck, man.
And John C. Reilly is there and he finds like he's sort of like the best friend archetype, falls in love with, I can't remember who plays his.
Anyway, I have to give that a rewatch.
It's fucking
weird. On something. It's on Netflix, isn't it?
I think it is.
How now we have to do that. Have to like
find out
figure
where
out the streaming service that offers these movies.
Yeah, because there's no Blockbuster.
No more. Or Rogers Video.
Oh yeah, Rogers Video.
Okay, next one for me is a classic, but also very good. Very much trope, but also a good one. Little show called 50 First Dates.
This is Drew Barrymore and Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
Okay, well, let me tell you.
I'm so sorry. It's the one where they're in Hawaii or something, right?
Okay, so he falls in love with her, but she's suffered a brain injury. So she's in a time loop. So she can only remember the day, a one day, a 24-hour cycle. So he figures this out and, you know, he has to like, what does he do again? He plays her a song every day, or he videos it and then shows her. He has to re-fall in love with her every single day of their life, and ends up doing it forever, I guess.
Right.
It's quite a story, though. Mm.
Those two are great together.
They are very good together. They've done a few.
Mm-hmm.
Wedding Singer was also on my list.
Wedding Singer is so good.
Yeah, very good. Very good movie.
It's underrated, don't you think?
Probably their best.
Yeah, their best.
Because everything just fit and worked in it.
What was the other one that she was in? Not to sidetrack from Never Been Kissed?
Yeah.
That's not Adam Sandler, though, is it?
I can't remember.
It's baseball themed.
What are you thinking of?
Never Been Kissed is the name of it, but I can't remember who the guy is.
Jimmy Fallon.
No, it's not Jimmy Fallon.
What was the baseball one with him, and it was a rom-com?
Oh, I never saw it, but I know the one you're talking about.
It's called, like, Outfield or something. Yeah.
Curveball.
What's it called?
Was it called Major League?
Major League 2. No, Wedding Singer was fucking rad.
Wedding Singer is great.
Wedding Singer has so many references, so many epic parts.
Yeah, and the whole...
50 First Dates is more of a women like that movie, I think, more than men.
Right. Well, and Wedding Singer is all about like dissing the 80s, which is funny because it's 90s, is right?
Yeah, and it had all those like hilarious Adam Sandler group guys in it.
Yeah.
Right? Those guys that are only in Adam Sandler movies.
What's his name already?
Nick.
Rob Schneider.
Rob Schneider, Nick fucking so-and-so. There's so many of them. Hilarious guys.
Keeping in the theme of what you said for 50 First Dates, kind of like the time loop thing. I forgot about this one, About Time.
Yeah, again, I've never seen this, and I should put it on my list because we've talked about it a few times.
It's so good. Rachel McAdams, Domhnall Gleeson, Vanessa Kirby is in it.
Domhnall Gleeson, so that was it's one of his first shows.
Yeah,
right?
It's the first thing I ever saw him in.
He's had quite the career.
Bill Nye is in it, or Nahi. I don't know how to pronounce his name. Not the science guy. The very esteemed British actor.
That was in Love Actually?
Yes.
The singer.
Yeah, he plays Domhnall Gleeson's dad. So the premise, if you haven't seen it, Domhnall Gleeson turns 21, and his dad reveals, he's like, well, the men in this family have this gift where if you go into an enclosed place and bring up a memory, you can return to that memory. Live it again.
For how long?
As long as you want to stay in it.
Oh, weird.
So basically you can reset and go back. So it's kind of a time travel movie. It's definitely a romantic comedy because he meets Rachel McAdams' character, falls in love, and he kind of like, every time he fucks things up, he goes back and fixes it and like gets a redo. It's great.
When you said that, I thought you were going in a different direction.
Well, there is a scene like that too. Don't want to spoil it because it's very funny.
About time. I gotta watch this. This is it's on great. My list.
It's really once. Good. It's really good. And it's very emotional too. So it hits all the fucking checkboxes.
If you had the power to do that, let's say, you know, you had that power or a remote control or a butterfly effect of sorts, would you use it, abuse it, or leave it alone?
Well, if you have read or watched as much media about time travel as I have, it always ends up looking like it's a bad idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you'd still use it once, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah. You'd have to screw around with it a little bit.
I'd just go back to yesterday.
I'd go back to this morning and stop us from playing disc golf in the snow.
Why? That was a great, fun experience.
It was.
It was like a winter wonderland.
And it wasn't as cold as I thought it would be.
No, it was, dude, our hat, we were, that was, I brought hot shots. We didn't even need them. Okay, I got another one. It is called Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Oh, yeah. It took me a while to get to this one.
Did you watch it?
I did, yeah.
Did you like it?
Yeah, because I like Kristen Bell. And I like Jason Segel kind of begrudgingly.
I like Jason Segel too, and I feel like he's kind of fallen off the map a little bit.
Yeah.
And when we watched the end of the tour, we did a review on it.
Yeah.
He was great in that.
He was great in that.
He was great in
I
that.
I think that's what the best thing I've seen him in.
He's a good actor.
Yeah.
And a good writer.
Yes.
And I feel like this movie at the time was a huge success on his behalf.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. It was just... It was simple, and it was a breakup story crossed with a love story crossed with, you know, him that it was a good arc, I thought, because he was like a music composer that wasn't very happy working on a crime scene show. And then and then Mila Kunis got him to do the puppet. I don't know. It was just the arc was a trope, but the aspects of it were very unique, I thought.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And the puppet thing at the end was hilarious. Great. Right? The Dracula thing. Remember the Dracula puppet musical? Fuck. And Russell Brand is always, you know, great. And I loved how they made another movie, Get Him to the Greek, based off that character.
Oh, is that a spinoff?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so...
Because I've never seen that one.
You've never seen Get Him to the Greek?
No.
Add it to your list.
Nah.
It's good. You'd love it. Nah. It's a fucking great. It's a great movie. It's hilarious.
I have too many to watch.
Clayton, you have nothing but time.
Yeah, that's a good one.
What do you got next?
Well, I'm running out, so we should probably pick our favorites.
Okay.
This is one that I don't think you've seen, but Ruby Sparks.
I haven't seen it.
This is oh my god. It's Paul Dano
and Ruby Sparks.
Zoe Kazan.
Okay, I love Paul Dano. Don't
and she wrote it and starred in it.
Okay.
So Paul, you know Paul Dano.
Love him.
Yeah. So Paul Dano is a writer and he's kind of down on his luck. This is the classic beginning of any romantic comedy. He starts writing a story about like an ideal girlfriend and then one day she just magically appears out of thin air.
But like as a human being.
As a human being.
Right.
And it's like she's the character that he's been writing in this book. And then it's sort of like... kind of like about time where you have this romantic comedy, but there's like a supernatural powers element to it.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of understated. Like it's not like over the top. But he can go back and write pages and change her.
Oh, and that would be handy.
Well, the moral of it is that your ideals are not actually what you want.
Right.
They end up being not what you think.
Still be kind of handy though, wouldn't it?
But it's a good movie. And they're so good, those actors. Yeah.
One sort of like go-to classic that we forgot to mention was Crazy Stupid Love.
Oh yeah, that's such a good movie. I was just talking to Tony about that movie.
Because it's women love it. It's a classic rom-com. And it's like Steve Carell and Ryan Gosling are so good.
Emma Stone. Julianne Moore.
Yeah. It's a very well done movie.
Let's not spoil the ending.
No.
For people who haven't seen it.
Okay.
But damn, it's good.
Yeah. People love it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think when it came out, people were like skeptical. but then they were pleasantly surprised.
Well, it's in the end, it has kind of a moral where Ryan Gosling is trying to be this cool guy, and then you see what that looks like from the outside perspective, right? Like Steve Carell's like, oh, cool guy, and then you realize that he just wants to be himself, and when he becomes himself, good things happen.
Yeah.
So there
he finds love.
He finds love.
Do you consider yourself a romantic?
Yeah.
Yeah, so do I.
Yes, he said, diminishedly.
Okay, what about Long Shot?
I haven't seen that one.
Oh.
Because it stars my favorite actor.
But it's so good. I'm just going to do a quick rapid fire here.
I do like
Charlize Theron. Clayton, Long Shot is really good.
That's on Netflix, right?
Yeah, I believe. No, or is it on Amazon? It's quite good.
Here's two. I'll name off two that I wanted to talk about. Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Mm.
It's kind of a
drama, though,
isn't it? Yeah, but there's some funny parts in it.
Sad.
Yeah, but there's some funny parts. Okay, how about this one then, Shaun of the Dead?
Yeah, you talked about Shaun of the Dead to me.
Because Shaun of the Dead is a romantic comedy with zombies.
Right.
And Edgar Wright, when he was pitching it, was talking about it being a rom-com. A zombie romantic comedy.
Edgar Wright, I mean, is that guy ahead of the time or what?
Yeah, big time.
I can't wait to see Last Night in Soho.
Oh, me.
Can't fucking wait. There's a bunch of movies coming out, I hope. God, can we go to movies, please?
I know.
Somebody save us. As much as I love streaming, it's like, somebody fucking get us back to the goddamn theaters.
There's so many movies that are like being withheld, and I'm like, I don't want to watch them on streaming. I want to go to the theater. Dune, Last Night in Soho, the new Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
I know.
Big fucking screen.
Everyone's
big
skeptical, sound. But I'm like, I just want to see it.
Popcorn. Fucking nibs. Junior mints. Sour kids. All for so cheap. Huge pop.
When I go back to the theater, the first time I go back to the theater,
I'm going to get a fucking basket of shit.
I'm going to get the biggest popcorn.
Yeah.
Extra butter.
Yeah.
Like six helpings of butter.
Put that fucking toppings salt on it.
No.
You don't like that?
No. I'm going to put
M&M's.
Milk duds.
Oh, milk duds.
Like in Whiplash.
Yeah. I have always done that.
Or the M&M's. Peanut butter M&M's. Yeah. M&M's. Yeah.
I'm going to get all of it, dude. I'm going to get fucking tacos. I'm going to go to the VIP, get popcorn, tacos,
for
candies, for Quiet Place 2.
Quiet Place 2, yeah. That's still one of my favorite stories.
Oh, I know. It's a great one. It's a great one.
Oh, there's one on your list that I think you should mention. Can I mention it for you?
13 going on 30?
No.
How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days?
No.
My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
I still haven't seen that.
Now, that is a good movie.
Yeah, I remember because that was one of the first movies that was like, old. I think, well,
2001,
because it shot it for $1 million.
Yeah.
And it made like $100 million.
Big. Okay, what is the one?
Big Sick.
Ah, The Big Sick. Yeah.
Which is a true story.
True story.
A true romantic comedy.
Very, very good movie.
Mm-hmm.
About a guy who... his girlfriend gets sick. She's in a coma.
What happens again? What's the true story of Camille Nanjiani and Emily Gordon?
His wife.
And how they got together. And he was doing stand-up comedy and she was a therapist, I think.
Right.
And she got really sick. I can't remember what the disease was.
She's like a kidney thing.
Yeah, she still has it. I know that. But they're
put her into a coma.
Yeah.
And then he stayed with her.
Yeah, and he has to deal with her parents and the cultural differences.
And the dad is Ray Romano.
The dad is Ray Romano, and the mom is Holly Hunter. Yeah.
And do you feel like Zoe Kazan and Maya Hawke are very similar?
Who's Maya Hawke?
Ethan Hawke's and Uma Thurman's daughter, she was in Stranger Things, and she's awesome. She's excellent.
Maya Hawke.
She's an up-and-coming actress. And I like her because she's like different looking. Like she just doesn't look like your average, like, you know, Riverdale looking girl or whatever, right? She just looks like an 80s actress kind of, you know? Just has a unique sort of...
I don't know if I've seen her in anything.
Ethan Hawke / Uma Thurman look. Okay, my last one quickly...
I mean, that would make sense.
My last one quickly is one of my favorite movies. Probably my favorite romantic comedy. could be considered a comedy, could be considered a drama, but I'm going to put it on the list because I love it. Acting in it is impeccable. Storytelling is amazing. Silver Linings Playbook.
Yes.
What a fucking movie that is.
Still haven't seen it.
Oh! Huh.
But I just worked with the director of photography of that movie.
Well, fuck. Put that on your list. Not ahead of 16 Candles, but ahead of 300 and Eyes Wide Shut.
Okay.
Because you'll love them both. You'll love Silver Linings Playbook, dude. It's just fucking something else, man.
Too many movies to watch.
Yeah, but they're That's good.
Overwhelming.
Well, I think you should just restart your list every week with me.
Oh, boy.
Don't you go see these things in the theater? Like when we had theaters?
No, here's the thing about me is that because I've been keeping track of the movies I watched in the last 10 years, I rarely went to the theater.
Well, there's your problem right there.
I rarely saw any movies.
That's your problem.
I was too busy trying to get into making movies that I didn't watch.
Oh, here we go.
I know. It's fucking stupid. What a waste of time.
Tell me you don't have a weekend to go and see something. Well, actually, I worked 6 days last week on fucking a movie about Duke Ellington.
Oh, I wish it was.
Everybody thought it was.
I know.
When it first came out.
No, it's the name of the dog.
Okay, well, for all you lovebirds. Oh, you know what? I have to read out Maddie's list because I asked her and she responded. And I think I owe her this. Her favorites are Celeste and Jesse Forever.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Sleeping with Other People.
I have seen that. That's pretty good, actually.
Down with Love.
Oh, I've not seen that.
Friends with Kids. Palm Springs, which we talked about.
Yeah.
And Away We Go.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Those are all good rom-coms.
Sleeping with Other People is actually really good. Alison Brie and Jason Sudeikis, I think it is.
Ones that get a shout out, Obvious Child, Forgetting Sarah Marshall, yeah. 5 year engagement, that was good. Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist, that was good. Valley Girl, haven't seen it. Crazy Stupid Love, obviously. La La Land, she put in there. 500 Days of Summer, and not comedy, Moulin Rouge and The Notebook. And anything with Zac Efron, she put. Oh my God, you nerd, Maddie.
Oh man.
I know Zac Efron.
Sort like of. Personally, you have his number in your phone. Let's call him.
I have his email.
Zach.
But I would never email him. He'd be like, hey, dude, what's going on?
I'm sending a security team to your location right now.
But that means that Maddie liked Charlie St. Cloud.
Ugh.
Is it a rom-com?
Charlie St. Cloud?
Yeah.
No. Doesn't he steal lightning or something?
He has sex with a ghost.
What am I thinking of?
Steel light.
Oh, I'm thinking of Percy Jackson.
You're thinking of Powder.
Oh. No, I'm thinking. Well, there you have it. There's some rom coms for you.
And we just want everybody to have a nice little Valentine's and maybe watch one of these movies because we think they're all great.
Yeah.
And if you don't want to, then don't.
Or watch.
But if you do, then do.
Or you can watch 300, but don't rent it from VideoCat because I'm probably going to go rent it later today.
I think you should rent. Fucking, what were we just talking about?
Silver Linings Playbook and 16 Candles.
Yes.
Yeah, I think I might do it.
Okay.
Okay, well, thanks everybody for listening. I hope you have a happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah, exactly.
Make sure you go get that cheap chocolate the next day.
Yeah, the on sale.
Mm-hmm. Chocolate is chocolate, whether it's in the shape of a heart or not.
Yeah,
you know,
really.
You know what I'm saying?
They always do that. We always fall for it. We're like, oh, look, Christmas, Reese, snowmen.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Thanks, everyone. Thanks to Uncle Dan for our music and my sister Amanda for our graphics. I'm Clayton.
I'm Jordy.
This has been the Props Cast.
Bye.
Hearts.
Kisses.